This morning, I want us to focus on forever. Focusing on forever. You know, the word eternity is a difficult word. It's a word that we struggle to wrap our minds around, to stretch out as far as we need to stretch it out. That's because we live in time. We live in a place that's marked by time. We live in seconds and minutes and hours, days, weeks, months, years. We live in a place that's marked by seasons, a place that's marked by birthdays and anniversaries and holidays. We have all these markers of time, and we struggle with the concept of eternity, forever and ever. And I think as preachers, we struggle in trying to illustrate eternity so that people can see it, so that it can begin to affect their lives and help them to make better, wiser choices. But if I can ever get you to see eternity, even grasp just a little bit of eternity, then it will forever change your life. So I want to try to do that today. I want to do it in the best way that I know how to do it, the ways that others have done it that have been instrumental in helping me to understand the concept of eternity. The first illustration that I ever heard of eternity was of a little bird. And the illustration went something like this. If you took all the sand on all the beaches in the world, and you were to take a little bird, and that little bird were to take a single grain of sand from one of those beaches and fly all the way to the moon and drop that grain of sand and come all the way back and get the next grain of sand and do that over and over and over and over again until all the sand on all the beaches was gone, then eternity will have just begun. And I remember as a child that kind of, in a way, got me to think about just how big eternity is. Because we struggle with that. You know, I struggle with how big the world is, much less eternity. I remember the first time that I traveled outside of the United States and I found myself in some other country. I thought, the world's a lot bigger, a lot different than I ever imagined it was. Some of you have traveled around the world. You know how big the world is. You know how many people there are in the world. You can kind of wrap your mind around that a little bit better than others of us because you've experienced a little bit more of it than the rest of us have. But it's big. And eternity is big. C.S. Lewis described it this way, and I thought it was a pretty good illustration of eternity. If you'll take your song book this morning and open your song book up to the title page, Favorite Songs of the Church. And let's just think about this book representing eternity for us. This title page represents our existence on earth. 70 to 100 years, Psalm 90 and verse 10 says that the days of man's life are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. So we talk about 70 to 100 years that most of us will get to live here on this earth. And so this page represents 100 years. So by the time we get to page 1 of our song book, that's 100 years of eternity. That's where eternity begins, if you will. The title page is our life here. The next page is eternity beginning. And every page that we turn in our song book represents another 100 years. By the time we get to the 10th page, we're at 1,000 years. And then 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, we begin to go through our book and we begin to think, this is my whole life, this title page, and then the rest of this, that's eternity. Just start flipping through the pages. That's eternity. It just rolls on and on and on forever. But you know, at the end, you get to the end of the song book, but you never get to the end of eternity. You're never going to get to the point to where there are no more pages to turn. You're never going to get to the point to where there are no more days. No, eternity goes on and on forever. So this morning we're focusing on eternity, and maybe that illustration helps us to be able to do that. But I have one more illustration that I came across that I think may help with that. And I've asked Brody, if you will, to come and help me. I need an assistant this morning, and he's a good assistant. So we're going to put him to work this morning. He'll have a little bit easier time maybe staying still this morning since he's doing something.
If you will, Brody, just pull that rope out. Just pull it out as far as you can pull it. Just go to the back of the auditorium. If it'll go all the way to the back, go to the back. If it'll go out the doors, go out the doors. If it'll go down the hallway, go down the hallway. Just take that rope and pull it out, if you will. And I'm going to stand here and talk. And when you get the rope pulled all the way out, you come back in, okay? If you don't, we'll send your dad after you. But hopefully it's not going to be too tangled up. Hopefully most of the rope will go out this morning. It's getting tangled up. Let's see. Go ahead. You're good. I got Andre on the job now. The rope doesn't stand a chance. Let me try to illustrate or talk to you about what we're doing this morning. What we're doing is we're pulling out eternity. We're trying to pull it out in a way that you can see it, the way that you can visualize it. And so I want you to see the portion that I'm holding here is the colored portion, the yellow part of this robe. That represents our lives here on this earth. That represents the 70 to 100 years that hopefully we'll get to spend here on this earth. The rest of this, the white robe, represents eternity. And yes, it's going out the back door and now it's going down the hallway. That's eternity. And really, that's not even fully representing eternity. This is only a 100-foot rope, right? They're going to get to the end of it. That's as far as it's going to go. But think about this rope in light of eternity, and think about how much focus we put on this little part right here and how little attention we put on this part. You know, the little part of the rope, that gets all of our focus. It gets all of our attention. This part of the rope, we don't think about that part of the rope very much. We don't really imagine that what's represented here is just a small fraction of this long rope that's stretching out there. Well, I want you to think about that as an illustration of eternity this morning. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that our life here on this earth is short. It wants us to know that this part of our existence is very short, but it also wants us to notice that the rest of our existence is extremely long. It stretches beyond our ability to see. It stretches beyond what we can imagine. That's eternity. Well, as we think about this, I want you to look with me in the book of Job. I ask you to go to the book of Job because the book of Job is a book that shows us mortality. It shows us mortality because when we start this book, we're starting with a man who, he has everything. I mean, this part of his existence is as good as it possibly can be. He's got more wisdom, he's got more riches, he's got more children, he's got more lands, he's got more animals, he's got more than just about anybody else has. I mean, he is living the life. And then something happens. And he begins to realize just how brief life is, just how brief our time on earth is. Look at Job chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. He says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never see good." He said, my life's like a weaver's shuttle. Now, we may not even know what that is, but if you think about a loom and you think about somebody sewing something and the spinning of those wheels as they're doing that, that was a representation of just how quickly the thread is coming off the spool. We need to understand that life is moving. It's moving at a fast pace. It's like a weaver's shuttle. It's like a breath. Take a deep breath. That's life, he says. That's what life is. Go to Job chapter 9. He's going to give us another picture of life. He's examining life because life is fleeting. Life is going away. He says in verse 25 of Job chapter 9, "Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping down on its prey." What do you think about the two pictures that he gives us here? Or three pictures, actually. That of a runner. Sophie just started running track. She's never done that before. She's played basketball. She's never run track, but we thought it would be good to keep her in shape. We thought it would be good, you know, it's going to help her in basketball. And it gives her something to do and something to be successful at. It gives her something to burn some energy, just a good thing to do. And so she went to her first track meet last week. I took her to her first track meet. And the things that she was doing, she's never done before. And so as a parent, you know, you're kind of nervous. You're sitting up there watching and thinking, how does she even know how to do that? You know, I take her to practice, but I don't sit there and watch her. And so she's doing the high jump and she's doing these different things. And I've never seen her do that before. And she does pretty well at all of it. But she placed second in the 100 meter. Now, the girl that won it, She was 10 yards ahead of everybody else. She was fast. But Sophie was next, and she was kind of neck and neck with another girl, and then about the last 5 yards or so, she pulled away. And I watched her cross that finish line. And I thought, that first girl was fast. But Sophie was fast as well. She was the second fastest there that day. I think about that, and I think about a runner. You ever watched Usain Bolt or some of the other Olympians and watched how they come up out of that block and how much ground they are covering? I mean, they are moving, a swift runner, right? A swift ship. You ever been on a ship and doesn't seem like you're moving that fast, right? Because it's just cutting through the water. And all of a sudden, you don't see the shore anymore. You realize, we've traveled a good distance in just a little bit of time. Swift ship. An eagle, you ever watched a bird coming down to get prey? Maybe you've seen it in person. Maybe you've just seen it on one of the nature channels. But you watch that hawk, you watch that eagle, and they drop down on that little unsuspecting rabbit or rodent. And it's over just that quickly, right? 70 miles, 100 miles an hour, they're coming down, screaming down the earth. That's life, he says. Job chapter 14, look at this picture that he gives us of life, of this little yellow part that we're talking about. Man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flies like a shadow and does not continue. It's like a flower. You know, we buy our loved ones flowers, and one of the reasons we buy our loved ones flowers is because they're precious, right? They're beautiful. But they're going to fade in just a few days, and they remind us of how precious people are to us, and we ought to appreciate them and love them because they're not going to be here forever, because they also are fragile, beautiful but fragile. Flowers remind us. That's what he says. Then he also says, like a shadow. We go out sometimes, and we're sitting maybe underneath a tree, and we're in the shade, but we know that shade's not going to last. It's not going to be there for long. We know eventually the sun's going to move and we're going to be in the bright sunshine and we're going to have to go find shade somewhere else because the shadow's going to flee. Go to the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 39. Look at this verse, verses 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you've made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. He gives two illustrations. One is a hand breath. That's the distance from the tip of the thumb to the tip of the pinky, reaching across your hand. That's a hand's breath. He says, that's what my life is. My life goes from here to here. Just that little dash between two dates, as we say. Life, that's the brevity of life. Then he talks about it being a vapor. We know James talked about that. James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and we'll buy and we'll sell and we'll get gain. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Life is short. Our existence on this earth is short. And think about how much time and attention we put into this short portion of life and how little time and attention and thought we put into the part that just stretches on and on and on and on. That's foolish. And we're going to talk about how foolish it is to focus just on this and not to focus on that, not to think about that, not to allow that to affect us. You know, the Bible also talks about how long eternity is. Some interesting places where it does that. Book of Psalms, we'll notice just a couple of these. Psalm 21, the king has asked God for life. And God not only gave him life, he gave him more than that. He gave him eternal life. In Psalm 21 and verse 4, he asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. You gave him life. You gave him length of days. You gave him forever and ever. Psalm 23, you know the shepherd's psalm. Verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So all the days of my life, that's this portion. God's goodness and mercy is going to be us on us in this portion. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, eternity forever. John 3:16, we read this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the eternal part of that. Revelation 20 and verse 10 gives us the other side of that. It talks about those that will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so that's eternity.
And when we think about eternity, eternity is going to be light forever or darkness forever. You ever thought about that? Light that's never going to see darkness and darkness that's never going to see light. So if you make it to heaven, you're going to be in the city of light and you'll be in light forever. There'll be no night there. But if you make it to hell, if that's where you go, there'll be darkness there and that darkness will be unending. Never will be the light of day again. That's eternity. We've got to think about those kinds of things. And the Bible emphasizes that we should think about those things. I want you to focus on a couple of verses in the New Testament that kind of illustrate for us or remind us the need to focus on eternity. I want you to start, first of all, in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We'll start there. We know this verse well, but maybe we've never thought about it in this understanding of eternity. It says, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, and keep your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So we set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, I want you to see the language of Paul, because he's going to do this at least three or four times in the New Testament. He talks about the things above and the things on the earth. So that's the contrast here. Things above, that's heaven, heavenly things, eternal things. Things on the earth, that's earthly things, that's temporal things, that's things here and now. So that's this part that we're talking about, focusing on things of the earth versus focusing on things above. He's talking about seeking. The idea of seeking is pursuing something, seeking after something. Whether you're pursuing it with your mind or you're pursuing it in body, you're chasing after something. You're pursuing something. So what he's saying here is that we are to pursue things that are above. We are to pursue, think about, chase eternal things rather than chasing earthly things. Okay, let's go to another passage that will illustrate this. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Again, this is Paul. Paul's still the writer. Paul's still continuing this same idea. He says in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before or which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we read about things above and things that are on the earth. Now we read about things that are behind and things that are ahead. Now, you see what Paul's doing with us here. He says, I want you to look up, now I want you to look down. I want you to look out, now I want you to look back. I want you to consider all those directions. And the way I want you to do is I want you to focus on things above, not on things down here. I want you to look forward to what's coming. I don't want you thinking about what's been. I want you looking backwards. I want you to look forward. He's illustrating that for us. Notice the language here where he says, I want you to press. I want you to pursue, I want you to seek, I want you to be after the things that are ahead, the things that are before. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Appreciate the reading of that passage this morning. I always appreciate it when he reads, and I appreciate Jarvis when he talks about those who hear and those who do. I love that. Because we should never read the Bible without truly hearing it. We should never read the Bible without fully planning on doing it. And that's a good reminder for us to have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to look at, as he's talking about the last part of this, we read 16 through 18, but we might just look at 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore I urge you, I'm in 1 Corinthians, that's a good one, but that's not where I want. I need 2 Corinthians if I want to get you to focus on eternity. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here we have the things that are seen and the things that are not seen. Things above and things on the earth. We have things behind and things ahead. So Paul's getting us to really think about life, and he's getting us to think directionally, and he's getting us to think toward things that are not seen, things that are above, things that are ahead. He's wanting us to focus on those kinds of things and not to focus on the things that are behind, not to focus on the things that are on the earth, not to focus on the things that we can see. You know, it's hard not to focus on the temporal things because they're all around us. They're tangible. We can reach out and touch them. We can see them. They're at hand. So it's very easy to focus on them and to take our focus off of the eternal things. This morning, we want to focus on the rest of this rope. We want to focus on that which stretches out of this room, which stretches down the hall, which if we could allow our minds to think about just circling the earth again and again and again, that's eternity. And there are so many people that only focus on this part of the rope. They never focus on the rest of the rope. I'll give you an example of some man who did that. If you go to Luke chapter 12, we read about a farmer, and he had a year like all farmers want to have. I mean, he planted his crops, and when they started coming in, they just kept on coming in. I mean, he has a bumper crop, as we say. He's raised more than he's ever raised in his life. He has so much that he doesn't know what he's going to do with everything. But he's determined he's going to tear it in his barns. He's going to build bigger barns because he wants to store all this. And he tells us the reason why he wants to do that. He says in verse 17, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be that you have provided?" I want you to think about this, what this guy says. This guy says, "I'm going to take my ease." You know, he's thinking about this little part of this yellow line on this rope. He's thinking about this last 10 years, this last 15 years maybe of his life. He's thinking, you know what? I've worked hard. I've worked hard my whole life, and now I've gotten to this point, I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to get up late. I'm going to eat breakfast at 10 o'clock. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do anything the rest of the day. You ever thought about life that way? You ever thought of life about those final years of your life and just resting and enjoying life and vacationing and doing what you want? That's what he says. He says, "I'm going to take my ease." But he's not thinking about any of this. He's not thinking about any of this. He's not focused on eternity at all. He's not thinking about eternity. He's thinking about resting right here. What about resting right here and resting right here and resting right there? What about resting there? Because what he's doing right now isn't going to lead to rest there. He's going to rest right now, and then he's going to be tormented the rest of his existence. That's foolish. God says, "Fool! You're resting right here. Why don't you work right here and rest right there?" Isn't that what the Bible says? Revelation 14, verse 13, "Blessed are those that die in the Lord from henceforth, for they shall rest from their labors." Do you know what? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11, same context, talks about those that will have no rest forever and ever. Now, is it wise, is it smart to focus on this part of life and say, you know what, I want to rest and not even think about this longer part of your existence and resting in that part of your existence? I tell you what, you make life as hard as you want to in this little part of the rope, as long as I get to have the rest of the rope. You know, that's what the focus should be on. That's what should matter, is getting the rest of eternity. We don't. We focus on this part, not that part. What else does he focus on? He says, "I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry." You ever focused on what you eat? I'm dieting a little bit, so I'm kind of focusing on what I eat, right? Some things I can't eat. You know, all the good-smelling breads, I can't eat that right now. Pizza, I can't eat that right now. You know, all those things, it's hard. You ever focused on what you can eat? Focused on, you know, think about how much time and energy people put into eating. And people go spend extreme amounts of money, right, to enjoy a nice steak, shrimp. They spend a lot of money on food, don't they? Focused a lot on food. Well, this guy, evidently he's focused on, you know, my barns are full of grain. I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat well. Later on in the context, Jesus is going to talk about in verse 12. He says, "Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." Jesus says, life is more than food, more than this part. You know, I'd rather be hungry in this part and full in this part, wouldn't you? The Bible says in Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17, "They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore." I get to heaven, I'm not going to hunger anymore. I'm not going to thirst anymore. Those needs are all going to be met. The Lamb's going to take care of every one of those. But so many people focus on what they're going to eat right now that they haven't even thought about eternity. They haven't even thought about what eternity is going to be like. They're not focused on it. They think so much about what their clothing is right here. You know, my clothes are out of style. Styles have changed. I've got to go buy a whole new wardrobe. I've got to have Armani. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. It's all about the clothes that I wear. What about the rest of this? Are you going to be naked in eternity? Oh, I was clothed well on earth. I wore the best clothes they had available. But you didn't even dress the man for eternity. I want you to think about another passage with me in connection with this. Eat, drink, and be merry. He's thinking about pleasure, right? He's thinking about, what am I going to do this weekend? There's a concert. There's a movie I've been wanting to see. You know, I've watched every one in this series of movies. I've read every one in this series of books, you know. I've got every song this person's ever sung. That's what that rich man's thinking about. But he's not thinking about pleasures forevermore. You know, the psalmist talks about at God's right hand, there are joys forevermore. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about right now, enjoying life right now, not giving any insight into eternity. I want you to go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We talk about this rich man. It's another rich man here. We talk about rich men because if anybody, you know, is focused on this part, rich people are focused on this part. And they're focused on, you know, getting everything they can out of this part. And so this man was focused on that. And the Bible tells us about him. It says in verse 28, I'm in Luke 15. I've been behind the whole day. Look at Luke 16 and verse 19. There's a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. I mean, this part of his existence, it didn't get any better than that. It was all about what he had on, and he was wearing the best. He fared sumptuously every day. What do you think that means? I think he probably took his ease, don't you? I think he probably ate what he wanted to eat. He probably had somebody fix special meals for him. And he ate it whenever he wanted to, and he ate as much as he wanted to. He fared sumptuously every day. There were crumbs that were falling from his table that the dogs were after. And there was Lazarus there, but he wasn't giving any thought to Lazarus. He wasn't giving any thought to this man who was in need. He wasn't giving any thought to this man who wasn't clothed very well, or this man who didn't have anything to eat, or this man who was hurting. He wasn't focused on him. He was focused on what he was wearing. He was focused on what he was eating. He was focused on this life without any thought of eternity. And then what happened? The Bible says the rich man, he did what? He died, right? Because even rich men die. He fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, but he died. What then? What about the rest of this? What about all this white portion of the robe? What about that part of his existence? This part of his existence was pretty good. What about the rest of his existence? The Bible says he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He fared sumptuously every day. If he wanted something to drink, he had whatever he wanted to drink, as much as he wanted to drink. Now he's in the white part of the rope. Now what about his existence? He's crying out for a single drop of water to be brought to cool his tongue. He forgot all about the white part of the rope. He only focused on this part of the rope. He didn't focus on eternity. He didn't think about what am I going to do in the biggest portion of my existence. He didn't think about that. We don't think about it. We think about this. We don't think about this. When we start to see this, when we start to think about this, then it changes everything that we do. It changes every decision that we make in life because I'm thinking about the big part of my existence, not the little part of my existence. I'm not thinking about the first 100 years of my existence. I'm thinking about the rest of my existence and what that is going to be like. And only a few people ever see that, a few people ever get that. I'll tell you a couple of the people that got it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, Faith Hall of Fame.
And faith, of course, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul talked about focusing on the things that are not seen rather than the things that are seen. Here are guys that focus on things that are not seen. Here are guys that focus on the things that were ahead, not the things that were behind. Here are guys that focused on things that were above and not on things of the earth. They had their focus where it was supposed to be. Abraham's one of those in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at what the Bible says about him. It's recording his faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll tell you a little bit about Ur of the Chaldees, because that's where he came from. In Ur of the Chaldees, archaeology has discovered that people in Ur of the Chaldees, they lived pretty good lives. Some of the houses that have been discovered in Ur of the Chaldees are three-story houses. There are houses that had indoor facilities, running water. I mean, they're pretty nice places. And in Abraham's day, that's the kind of house that he would have lived in, because Abraham was a wealthy man. And we think about his existence and we think about his living in that house. But look at what he says, what the Bible says about him, beginning in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham is focused on forever. He leaves a house for a tent. He dwells in a tent. Can you imagine just today deciding, you know what, I'm not driving back to that house today. I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to walk back to the outdoor section, and I'm going to buy me a tent. And the rest of the time on earth, I'm going to live in this tent. You ever thought about that? Ever thought about doing that? Said, no. A weekend's long enough. I go camping for the weekend. That's long enough. He spent the rest of his life on earth in a tent. Who does that? Somebody who isn't focused on a house here, somebody who's focused on a house there. Somebody who isn't focused on what he has here, but is focusing rather on what he has there. What did Jesus say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:19 through 21. I don't focus on this earth and laying up treasure here. Oh, moth and rust and thieves are going to get that. It's going to be burned up one day. You focus on how much you're going to have in eternity. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, John 14:2-3. He wasn't focused on a mansion here. He was focused on a mansion there. But I know a lot of people who are focused on a mansion here. I mean, that's where their focus is. That's what they're thinking about. But they haven't given any thought to the rest of their existence. What if you didn't have a place to live? What if you didn't have a house? Some people in the world don't have a house. Some people in the world sleep under an overpass. Some people in the world sleep under wherever they can find shelter. They don't have a house. But you know, 100 years. What if for eternity you didn't have a sheltering place? What about for eternity you don't have any place to shelter you or protect you? Well, that's a bigger issue in this little part of our existence. But we focus on this part of our existence rather than thinking about that part of the existence. But Abraham, he was thinking about the city that has foundations. He was thinking about heaven. He was reaching for that. Look at the context as he continues. They confessed, if you go on down in the verses, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. See, Abraham understood, my time here is short. I'm just a stranger. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just a sojourner. That's why I've got a tent. Don't need a permanent place. I'm not going to be here forever. But I'm going to need a permanent place because I'm going to be somewhere forever. I'm going to need a city that has foundations. I'm going to need a city that's going to stand forever. Focusing on eternity. Think about Moses. Go on down to the context. Look at verse 24 beginning. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, was released to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. We think it was probably Tutankhamun or along about that time, the height of Egyptian dynasty. Moses is growing up in that kind of wealth. The kind of wealth that when a person dies, they make a golden sarcophagus for them? Have all these jewels, all these precious things placed in his tomb so he can have them in the afterlife? You see, they had the eternity that had been put in their hearts. They believed in an eternity. They believed in some existence beyond this. Moses, I mean, he could have had it all, humanly speaking, earthly speaking. It was his. It was his disposal. Raises Pharaoh's daughter. But he chose affliction rather than the pleasures of Egypt, rather than the pleasures of sin. Why would you do that? Because he realized this existence in Egypt, even if I'm on top, it's very short. What am I going to do about the rest of this? Where am I going to be for eternity? How wealthy am I going to be then? How comfortable am I going to be then? Where am I going to be then? That's what he's focused on. He's focused on forever. What about us? Are we focused on forever? Or are we focused on right now? Say, well, we got to be concerned about right now. Yes, we do, because what we do right now affects where we're going to be eternally. So I get that. But if we're just focused on right now and we're not really focused on eternity, not really thinking about eternity, we're not going to make the best choices in life. We're going to make selfish choices, temporary choices, rather than eternal choices. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says that we're strangers and pilgrims. We're just like Abraham. We're just like Moses. We have a temporary existence here. We have an eternal existence somewhere else. And we need to be making choices that are going to lead us to have a place to live in eternity, to have a place of comfort in eternity, have a place of rest in eternity, have riches in eternity, to be clothed in eternity, to have something to eat in eternity, to have something to drink in eternity, to have the needs met in eternity. That's what we need to be thinking about. Most of us aren't thinking about the white part of the rope at all. We're just thinking about this. This morning, I hope that through this lesson, we've gotten you to think about the bigger picture. We've gotten you to think about eternity. We've gotten you to think that, you know what? It matters whether or not I respond to the invitation this morning. It matters because all of this part of my existence is still out there. I'm going to live somewhere forever. Where is it going to be? Is it going to be heaven? Is it going to be hell? Those are the only two choices. Where is it going to be? What decisions am I making right now that are focused on eternity that are going to help me to reach where I want to be forever and ever and ever, the big part of my existence? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because that's focused on eternity. Are you willing to repent and turn away from your sins? Because that's focusing on eternity. Are you willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because you want Him one day to confess you? That's eternity. Are you willing to be buried in water to have your sins washed away? Why? Because that's focused on eternity. I can't get here. I can't get to heaven. I can't get to where God is if I have sin. I got to get rid of it. Focusing on eternity. If you're a child of God this morning, you've not been faithful. Focus on this part. Focus on the white part of the rope. Focus on where you're going to be forever and ever and ever and say, there's something I got to do. There's something I got to fix. Because I don't want my longest portion of my existence to be in a place called hell. I want it to be in a place called heaven. We're going to offer the invitation song, but I hope that in your mind you now have at least a little better picture of eternity. You have a little better picture of why we meet for services. I think you have a better picture of why we study the Bible. I think you have a better picture of why we offer an invitation every time we gather together. I think you have a better picture of why we do that, because we're thinking about all of this. And we're thinking about where you're going to be for all of this, your existence. And we want you to be in the right place because we love you and we care about you. And we want to be there and we want you to be with us. And we invite you to come if you need to, as we stand and as we sing.